Hi, I'm Ashley Lair from Germantown, New York. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Hudson, Catskill. Hands-on and listener-supported radio.
Do you have a happening you want to share with WGXC's listeners? Use WGXC's community calendar to share your event. The calendar can be found at wgxc.org/events. Just use the green Add an Event button at the top of the page. Listings from the community calendar are read on air throughout the day by WGXC's hosts. Let us help you get the word out about your event.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Spot, are you mad that there are no dogs in WGXC? But Spot, that's only because no dogs applied for the show. Yes, Spot. Anyone in Greene and Columbia counties can propose a show on WGXC. It's radio made by your friends and neighbors. True, you don't have the usual radio voice, but that's the point. So, what kind of radio would you like to make?
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts or guests alone, and not those of WGXC 90.7 FM, its staff, management, or parent organization, Free 103.9.
Hello world, this is Bill Lawrence, broadcasting live from the Hudson Studio for WGXC 90.7 FM on your radio dial. We are in our second show of the year, our second monthly show. Our first one was last month. Hopefully you listened to it along with about five of our other friends that we hope to mention here today. Just to let you know, this is a show called The World According to Lawrence. It's based on a blend of commentary, guest call-ins, sound clips of politics, pop culture, current events, and of course, my favorite topic, science. We're going to be here for about an hour, and you'll hear my views as well as the views of my partner in crime, Deborah Kemica. She is the librarian, the chief executive officer of the Cairo Public Library at this point, and she's here today to keep me in line and also to help me respond to certain concerns about topics that both of us hear about and what you hear about almost every day on your news channel if you listen to the news anymore. So I'm going to just give you a little bit of background about myself, and then I'll let Debbie take care of herself. I live in Greene County in the town of Cairo, New York. We are also the town where the original source of this program comes from. The antennas for WGXC are located right in Acra, New York. The program is run here from Hudson. There's one in Catskill, and they have a studio out there in Acra. I'm going to be on the air once a month, about the third Tuesday of the month, from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m. And again, as our show progresses, we hope to have more and more conversations with our public, have them call in, give us their comments. We'll listen to them, respond, and then make the show a little bit more broad in terms of what we cover. I am a Green candidate legislator in the Republican Party for the town of Carroll. I sit with 13 other men and women from Green County to run county business. My views on this show are mine and mine alone, and I will always try to let you know when those views are somebody else's. I used to teach at the Carroll-Durham School District. I was a teacher there for 35 years. I taught chemistry, physics, math, photography, as well as a number of other topics that the school needed at the time. I started this program with the help of Deborah because I myself am tired of the all Obama all day type of news that you get on the news channels. And I like to talk about things that interest me and only me, of course, maybe you too as well. I need to get a break from the First Family. So here I am for an hour anyway, talking to you in Green and Columbia counties with a slightly more conservative take on the issues that you may hear about. Now, to give you some disclosure from my colleague, Deborah Kemica, she's right here. Deborah, say hello to the audience.
Good morning, Bill's World audience.
Bill's World audience, that's right. Right now, we're stuck in Columbia and Green counties, but someday we're going to be around the world. We did have a number of callers, or a number of people that listened to the show last month. I wanted to make sure I mention them. We have Sylvia Van Sickle. She lives in Tanacaro, and she listened to our show. Dolores Post made a donation to our program last month. If you remember, we interjected a lot of please send us money comments during the program because we were interested in getting some money for WGXC to stay on the air. Maureen Forrester, a good friend of Deborah's, right, Deborah? You know anything about Maureen?
Maureen's been involved in the Carroll Public Library for probably 20 years and until recently was the president and saw the new construction project completed or nearly completed within this past year. So we couldn't have done it without Maureen.
She's a good leader, that's for sure.
Yes, she is.
Also, Sonia Brundage listened to our show. And, of course, my long-suffering wife, Peg Lawrence, had to listen because there was a mandate of being in the Lawrence household. So she was there listening as well. And just to give you a little bit more disclosure, I am a little bit under the weather. I've had a bronchitis or flu for the last week or so. And so Debbie dragged me out of my deathbed today and told me to get here and get on the air and get my second show done. So I thought we would start with taking a look at what happened yesterday. Yesterday was the 15th of April. If anybody knows what's special about that day, Deb, do you know?
I'm thinking taxes.
Taxes, right. Things that we all have to pay, whether we like to or not. And yesterday was National Tax Day. Your federal and state income taxes were due by yesterday. Deb, you did pay yours, correct?
I did.
I think that's part of what made me sick was doing my taxes for this year. And so I'm just getting over that now. And as the tax day wanes behind us, I will certainly feel a lot better. But in terms of tax day itself, I thought it'd be interesting to see just exactly how much Debbie knows about her taxes. I have here a list of things that we buy almost every day. And the taxes on that particular item amount to quite a bit. Now, these are taxes other than federal and state income taxes. There are things like sales tax, corporate income taxes, payroll taxes, property taxes, capital gains taxes, unemployment insurance taxes, workers' compensation taxes, and other payments businesses must make to federal, state, and local governments. Now, when a business gets a tax levied on it by the federal government or the state government, guess what? They push it off onto you, the consumer, and we pay for those taxes by buying their products. They don't tell you that when you buy them, but I'm sure that we all know that happens. Okay, here's the little quiz, Deb, all right?
Okay.
And by the way, Debbie gave me a little quote here. Tax day is the day that ordinary Americans send their money to Washington, D.C., and wealthy Americans send their money to the Cayman Islands. That's by Jimmy Kimmel, you may have heard of as a national broadcaster on one of the major stations. He's not here with us tonight, sorry, or today, but here's the quiz, Deb. I'm going to give you an item, right?
Okay.
And you let me know what percentage of the cost of the item is taxes, all right?
Wait, do I get to call an audience member, or do I have a helpline or something like
you,
that?
We'll give you, what's your mom's number? Don't put that on the air. we want to let Debbie try this on her own. No help from the audience. No lifelines. Either she knows or she doesn't. But I think a lot of you will be surprised at just exactly how much taxes are paid for when you buy a product. For example, let's take a bottle of wine. Everybody likes a good bottle of wine every so often. What percentage of a bottle of wine goes to taxes?
25%.
Very close, 32.74%. So when you buy a bottle of wine at your local bottle retailer, you are giving him enough money to pay for his cost, and you're sending about 33% of that money to the government for their various taxes. How about gasoline?
68 cents.
Pretty close, 44.5%. Of course, that's going up every day, because I think one of the things they will tax more as they find the need for more money will be gasoline, because guess why? Everybody uses it. How about candy?
Well, not everyone. There are some people that apparently are using cooking oil. Seems to be an alternative.
They're doing they're environmentally, they're eco-friendly, in other words.
There you go. Or the electric cars.
Electric cars, right? Okay. But then they see electricity. If I have that here, I don't. How about candy? What do you think the taxes on candy amounts to?
15.
31%. 31% of a candy bar goes to taxes. So when you take that first big bite, you've paid for the 31% of it in taxes. How about over-the-counter medications?
I'm going to say 33%.
Close. Again, about 29%. 29% goes to taxes. How about firearms?
Firearms. 42.
41%. Okay, she knows her firearms tax anyway. All right. And we'll do one more. How about cigarettes?
89.
75% of a pack of cigarettes goes for federal taxes. And I hear that cost is going to go up as well because, again, if you tax the what they call the sin tax, I think it's called a sin tax, or something you like smoking, you like drinking, you want to do those things, you got to pay the tax on them first. All right, that is our tax quiz, and I think she did pretty good. I mean, she's a lot more aware than a lot of people that I ask about taxes. They seem to think it's about 10 or 15% for everything, and that's not true. Now, here's the other thing that happened on this day, and I'm going to play this little clip for you. I know Maureen Forster doesn't like these little clips, but I'm going to play this little clip for you because it's part of a movie I saw recently, and it fits in perfectly with yesterday's tax day. Here we go. Make sure all my things are on. Try this.
Euclid's first common notion is this. Things which are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. That's a rule of mathematical reasoning. It's true because it works. Has done and always will do. In his book, Euclid says this is self-evident.
Okay, now that was from a movie called Lincoln. I think many of you may have seen that movie. That was Daniel Day-Lewis playing Lincoln. And it was the part of the movie which made the most sense to me. Now, Lincoln died on April 15th, 1865. And that particular part of the movie, why I liked it, is because it had a lot of mathematics as well as history in it. Euclid was a mathematician about 2,000 years ago. And even then, Euclid knew that if you have two things equal to the same thing, they must be equal to each other. And I think for Lincoln to put that into a philosophy of his own was unique, genius, so to speak. And for him to pursue the 13th Amendment was, of course, something that gave us all a better country and a better world. Deb, did you see the movie Lincoln?
I actually started to watch the movie Lincoln and fell asleep.
Fell asleep?
Not because of the film, but chose to watch it at a bad time.
All right. Well, it was worth watching. I mean, it was a little bit more historically accurate and not as a lot of action, not a lot of shooting or bombs going off.
It was very well done, and just a little plug for libraries. If you haven't seen it yet, you can pick up a copy at your local library if you want to look at
the library is a good place to get free videos. And by the way, today is also, or this week is what?
This week is National Library Week. I actually have a little tiny quiz for Bill about libraries.
Now, if you haven't used your library in your local town, you should try to take a few minutes, go there, visit, see what they have available. I know the Caro Library is well stocked, not only in books, but magazines, computers, videotapes, and all these are free for the asking. All you got to do is have a library card, check them out, return them. Otherwise, they have the library police come after you to get those things back. But they do have a very great and wonderful variety of materials for everybody to use. Instead of going to your local video store and renting them, and I'm not trying to take a business away from a video store, but there are many videos on hand at the library you can get almost any time of the day or the week that you want. But go ahead. What's the quiz?
Yeah, so I was working on a 2012 annual report for the Greene County Libraries Association, which we do for the Greene County Legislature every year since they do give us some funding.
I like the Greene County Legislature. It's good.
So, Bill, we being all of the libraries in Greene County, circulated 344,816 items in 2011, including books, audio and ebooks, DVD, electronic learning games, and music CDs. So at an average cost of more than $20 per item, what would you guess is the value of circulating these 344 some thousand items in 2011?
At the average cost of $20 an item? Mm-hmm. Okay, I would say what? $1 million?
$6,896,320. That's the value of the items that circulated in exchange. If you were to go out and purchase these, it would equate to this $6 million figure. So that's what you're saving. That's what the taxpayers in Greene County are saving when they choose to borrow a DVD or an ebook or whatever, music CD, rather than purchasing it.
That's an amazing amount of money, $6 million, holy mm-hmm. cow. And for a small county like Greene County to do all that exporting of information is quite remarkable.
Yeah, so there's more than 16,000 public libraries nationwide who are doing the same thing. So you could see how valuable libraries are, particularly in this kind of economy where everybody's trying to save a few cents.
And just like with the radio station WGXC 90.7 FM on your dial, we are looking to help out the libraries whatever way we can. They do offer a tremendous service to their residents. And I think if you take a tour of your local library, you'll find that you're quite impressed with what's available. But thanks, Deborah. National
you're
Library
welcome.
Week goes to when?
All this week.
All this week. So any chance you can get in to celebrate that with your local librarians, please feel free to do so. Okay, that was yesterday. That was tax day, Lincoln's death, of course. Now the items that we're going to talk about today, number one on our list is North Korea. I hope you've heard of that country by now. Sort of a backwards country. The population is under the very strict dictatorship of Kim Jong-un, the son of Kim Jong-il, who passed away recently. And the son, of course, is trying to get his name known in the world. He doesn't want to be just a person in charge of Korea. He'd like to be well-known throughout the entire world. Sort of like Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman is one of those guys that visited him the other day. I don't know what he told Kim Jong-un, but it wasn't too good because now he's a little bit antsy. He's starting to rattle his sabers, as they do in many countries that have very little else to do except, you know, cause turmoil. And in this case here, he's moved around missiles. He's given the indication that he's no longer going to be held in agreement with the accord that stopped the Korean War in the 50s. He's going to, he considers South Korea his enemy, and at this point, everybody's a little bit on edge as to what he will do. And again, I just thought I'd give you a little bit of background here, so take a few seconds and listen to the following clip.
Nuclear threats out of North Korea targeting the U.S., saying it has placed long-range missiles into combat mode aimed at numerous Western targets. Ambassador John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Fox News contributor with me now. And, sir, good morning to you. More words or more than that?
Well, I think the threat to use missiles against targets in the United States like Alaska, Hawaii, or bases like in Guam or Okinawa is probably remote as of this moment. But make no mistake, the North Koreans are getting closer to making those threats a reality, and their ability to hit closer targets in Japan or South Korea can't be dismissed. I think the most immediate concern is that with all this belligerent talk, there is a risk of North Korea taking some provocative action, sinking a South Korean ship as they did a little over a year ago, or doing something that could get us very quickly into a larger confrontation.
That was John Bolton, of course, used to be the ambassador for the United States, and he's a little bit concerned about the fact that North Korea could do maybe something accidentally to cause the World War III, which is, I think, a fear that in my generation, we used to have the fear of World War III because we built all kinds of bunkers to protect us in case of an atomic war. But you got this young whippersnapper, Kim Jong-un, who's in charge of North Korea now, who has very little to lose because his people are starving. The medicine, the hospital, the medical care is horrible in North Korea. He doesn't really care about that. He's more concerned about his own issues. I understand from my research that he's got like $5 billion in the bank. It's probably the bank of Hugo Chavez, who also had about that much money put in other countries besides his own. So here we have North Korea on the brink of maybe causing some trouble. Maybe it's all, you know, verbal. Maybe it's just a way of getting attention. But the other extreme, just the press of a button, wrong action by an superintendent of weapons could set off World War III. Would we be ready for it? And what would we do in terms of getting back to normalcy? John Kerry, our Secretary of State, is over there. He's trying to calm down the situation, and we'll see how well he does. Hopefully he will do something that will calm the North Koreans down, the South Koreans down, and the rest of the world. Although it's a tough job for one man to do. I know, Deb, you've been following the North Korea situation?
Hard not to, since it's on pretty much all the time. I think, who was it, Dick Cheney, that said we're in deep doo-doo with North Korea. I'm kind of thinking that it's a lot of posturing on Kim's part. I'd like to see Kim, move on to another job. And my thought was that Kim could get together with Dennis Rodman and they could form maybe a duet, a singing group or a rap group or something. And we could call them Kim Rod.
Kim Rod. They could do rap songs and talk
sure.
about...
They could dance. They could get Psy to, teach them the Gangnam dance.
Gangnam style, sure.
Do that, yeah. And then Beyonce,
Jay-Z
could manage their career. Could be a good move for North Korea to have Kim... move back to Hollywood with Rodman.
Actually, one of the better exports from Korea has been the Gangnam style music. I'd hate to see other than music and maybe some things that we buy in the local supermarket coming from either North or South Korea at this point. I think we ought to get him under control. He's a spoiled brat. He's young. He's brash. And I think that's going to be something that we have to watch very closely.
Well, I think China needs to step up to the plate a little bit.
Yeah, China has a lot of influence in North Korea, and they did during the Korean War as well. So I think they may be somebody that we would be paying attention to as well. Just to give you a song that comes out of the 50s and early 60s, I have one here that sort of summarizes what may happen if somebody presses that red button, sends out their first nuclear missile. And this was written by Tom Lear, who was a professor at Harvard back in the 60s. And it's short, it's sweet. I love this song. It comes on an album that he did. But just take a listen to Tom Lear's take on should there be a World War III. Here we go.